listening to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. If you have a question or comment about today's show, Jay would love to hear from you at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. You can also send an email to questionsfortaylor@gmail.com. That's questions, the number 4, Taylor@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Turning Hard Times to Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor, and Dr. Quentin Henning is back with us after the break to talk about some of my favorite stories, companies that are sponsors of the show, also companies all of which I have purchased shares of, and they are also favorites in my newsletter, Jay Taylor's Gold Energy and Tech Stocks. So thanks for staying with us, Quentin, and I'd like to ask you, first of all, about El Oro Resources. This is a company that's exploring a massive silver tin rich polymetallic deposit in Bolivia. It's hosted in several breccia pipes. I think a couple of them that you've pierced into so far, but maybe there's more targets there as well. But as I understand it, this is a huge bulk mineable target, very rich in silver and tin. And so just give us an overview of that.
Certainly. This region of South Central Bolivia is geologically is very interesting because the magmas that came up, these are, it's part of the Circumpacific Arc. You know, basically it's an area where there's been long-lived subduction, where the oceanic crust has been drawn underneath the continental crust. And in that process, you generate a lot of melts. And for some reason, in this area, the melts are rich in many, many different metals. They basically have a whole host of metals that you would find across the periodic table, you know, including tin and silver in this case, but also lead, zinc. Now they're seeing copper at the Porco zone and gold, actually some pretty impressive gold, gold out of the recent assays they got at the Porco target. Which is really just a subset of the greater Isca property here. It's really shaping up to be, a truly world-class system.
And this is a resource. I think they're going to announce they'll be putting together a resource sometime in the not-too-distant future, I believe.
Yes. If you look at the drilling done to date, I think they have 3 rigs operating, and the drilling they've done to date has largely focused up and around the Santa Barbara area, which is where the company first encountered some long intervals of silver, lead, zinc, and tin mineralization, starting, I think, back in January. And you can see, I'm quite impressed, like Bill and Osvaldo are definitely focusing a lot of drilling up in that region. They've done some geophysics that indicate the system's wide open up there, and I'm going to, hold my breath, because I think what they're saying is that basically every time they drill a hole, they still can't find the edge of this thing, which is just remarkable. Yeah, it is. It's an amazing system. So very anxious to see where that resource lands. Right now, I think the box that they've drawn around, this targeted initial resource area is something on the order of 1.5 or maybe up to 2 kilometers long, and it's about 600 meters wide, and or maybe even more than that at this point. And it extends down about 600 meters. So you can imagine, that's a lot of rock that they're tackling. It's not to say that every, cubic meter inside that's going to be mineralized. I'd say looking at the drill intercepts, probably in the order of 30 or 40%, maybe up to 50% in some holes is reportable in terms of mineralization. So, but that's still an absolutely exceptional result. Porco, the area that they've sampled here recently, way down at the south end, so we're talking like 2.5 kilometers, and they're seeing high gold and copper and even higher tin grades. I mean, it's astounding. So it looks like the system, like the hottest part of the system, which is usually where you find the gold and tin and, copper, is actually down in that area, and that just makes you start to think, wow, now we've got not only the Santa Barbara area, but everything in between. It's absolutely immense.
Is it likely then, as you say, they keep stepping out and keep finding mineralization? Is it possible that there will be a delay then in terms of the initial resource, or are they just drawing a border around what they're going to report?
Well, that's a good question. I think Bill is down in the country right now. He's kind of going through a review, and I'll be anxious to see where they land with that. I guess my advice, sometimes companies get a bit aggressive about putting a resource out, and they kind of forget, the bigger picture. I don't think Bill's that kind of guy, so I'm not too worried. Mm-hmm. But he, if he says, let's keep drilling here or there or whatever, I wouldn't be surprised if they end up forestalling the resource a little bit, mm-hmm. just to get, some more drilling in.
Sure. Well, I think, 62.1 million shares, only $2.83, $175 million market cap, given the sort of size of this thing. And I don't know, we don't have time to go through too many more because we have more companies to talk about. But in terms of tin could be a very valuable part of this. Silver and tin primarily at this point, right?
Absolutely. Silver and tin, but in other areas, the lead zinc is very important, and now copper and gold.
Oh, crazy. Crazy stuff. All right. Hannon Metals, HAN and HANNF in the U.S., 92 million shares, only 20 cents, the lowest market cap company that we'll talk about. Hannon Metals, exploring a vast sedimentary-hosted copper-silver mineralization in Peru. Give us the overview of this one.
Yeah, look, I'll give you the two-minute version. Basically, they're looking at a copper-silver system, very different than most people are used to. This is a sedimentary-hosted copper-silver system. It is hosted by black shales, and it's very extensive. It's on the east side of the Andes. There is folding in the region, so you see these rocks come up, and then they go down into the subsurface over and over again. But these guys have done work across a very large area at Tabalosis. That's confirmed this thing is extremely extensive, on the order of tens to even hundreds of kilometers across. So the San Martin Copper Project is really shaping up to be something potentially world-class. Now, they also have a belt of porphyries, again, on the east side of the Andes. These are something we call alkaline porphyries. They're richer in gold. Very early stage, but I do know they're doing work there too to just try to identify, what areas are the most prospective for the copper gold porphyry. So very anxious to see where that lands.
Yeah, it's one of the things I'm wondering about a little bit is Peru, the new political situation there. It hasn't been terribly positive towards mining. That's just one thing. I don't know if you have any opinion. Maybe that's more a better question for Michael Hudson of the company, but I just don't know if you have any thoughts.
I have a comment. I know a lot of people in a lot of companies. We have a lot of investments down there. So we watch it fairly closely. I would say that Peru has had a sustained mining industry for now for several decades, and I'd be surprised if that gets disrupted. I think their economy basically is in part driven by minerals.
Sure.
But, it's not to keep people from doing goofy things from time to time. And politicians are the goofiest people on the planet. So,
say that again.
They came out and said some things the other day, and then they quickly tried to walk them back. And, anyway, it's politicians.
Politicians, both sides of their mouth. That's typical. So, okay, so SK Mining, really, really exciting story. Now, this is a $400 million market cap based on the numbers this morning, $2.45 U.S., 162.5 million shares. But my goodness, this company is really exploring what looks like the SK Creek project. Just give us an overview of where this company's at now, this polymetallic, really a VMS project.
Yeah, look, this company should be thought of as hosting a district, not just a particular target. The drilling this year tested a number of areas, including TB and Jeff, which were partially drilled last year. And this year, I think the results we're seeing are very outstanding. They're really a great expansion of what we understood from last year. So recently, the company announced some very long intercepts, 90 to 140 meters of 2.6, 2.7 gram gold equivalent in the Stockwork zone to the feeder of the VMS. We're waiting some assays from the actual massive sulfide itself, which is very intriguing. But beyond that, the company has identified and now drilled a number of other VMS targets down south. This Vermilion target, C10, those were drilled this year. We're anxiously awaiting results from those. And then they've identified boots on the ground work up in the northeast, a new area called Scarlet Ridge, which is just an absolutely immense VMS system, very similar in the stratigraphy to the Eskay Creek deposit, which is about 7 kilometers west. Again, we're very excited. I think this is a story that will absolutely be one of the front runners in terms of Canadian exploration stories over the next few years.
And there's more assays coming out from this year's drilling, I think, right?
Yeah, look, only I think 5 holes out of 98.
Okay.
So tons of assays.
So we should be getting a lot of news through the winter months here before the company goes back to work. And how soon can they get to work in the next year?
Yeah, look, the target, we had meetings last week. We were targeting early June this year to get in, perhaps in the lower areas, and then try to expand. We got about 23,000 meters done this year. We would like to get well north of 30,000 meters done next year, so that might mean, you know, a bit more aggressive approach, earlier start, later finish, you know, maybe even more rigs at some point. Don't know yet, but we want to be aggressive. This is a winner.
I should mention that you are involved either directly as an advisor to these companies or as an advisor in any event with Crescat Capital, because each of these companies, I believe, Crescat has an interest in as well.
That's correct. Yes.
All right. Labrador Gold, next door to one of the most outstanding new gold discoveries in North America, I would say Newfound Gold's amazing discovery, and it's Queensway Project. This is the Kingsway Project. It's just adjacent to and along the same belt of rocks as Newfound's Queensway Project. So the Kingsway Project is being explored, and we did have the company on this show just recently. I think they're having some pretty nice success, but so far, I'm thinking of a half a meter of 76.24 grams per ton. It's a pretty nice number, but so far I haven't had the same sort of longer intersections, I think, that the Newfound has had. But just give us your overview of Labrador.
Certainly. Look, Lab is situated just like Newfound along the Appleton Fault Corridor. This is a north-northeast trending fault structure, and then the secondary structures, these are the smaller structures that come off, are actually the ones that host mineralization. What we're seeing at Lab is basically the same style of mineralization they see down at Newfound. It's not a big surprise. We're talking, you know, same structure, same system, basically. But they haven't found the big structure, you know, like the big, you know, 10-plus meters type structure yet on the on their side of the property. Now, that said, the company is now exploring through drilling areas east of the Appleton Fault. And if you look at all the bigger discoveries that Newfound has made, they are all east of the Appleton Fault. So the premise is that now that they're drilling on the east side, they might turn up some wider intercepts here at some point. One area that I kind of focus on is this Golden Glove target. They identified a couple of months ago. It's immediately north of the property boundary, and it's immediately east of the Appleton Fault. And they got samples there at surface over 300 grams per ton. I'm very hopeful that that they will find a new high-grade discovery. Look, Newfound, I'll put a plug in there. They've also got a new discovery called Big Dave, which is immediately south of the property line. So I think the high-grade basically straddles that property line.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. And, of course, Newfound has an interest in Labrador as well. I believe they own some shares of Labrador.
That's correct. Yes. Yep. Absolutely. And, yes.
So Labrador, I've got it selling at 68 cents U.S. money earlier today, 153.7 million shares. U.S. market cap, a little over $100 million. So certainly if there's some big numbers coming down the pike, there's a lot of room on the upside for these shares, I would guess. And last but not least, and I know you're going to be with us next week to talk about Lion One Metals, an alkaline deposit, as you've identified it. Certainly a story that I was watching over the years, but always seemed a little bit small, very high grade, and this is the Tuvutu project in Fiji. But now I think with your input, it's come to be realized that this is a much bigger system than what management might have first envisioned. And the company is moving towards production, right?
That's correct. So they've got the exploration continuing, particularly on the high-grade feeder. They've been drilling at depth. It is very exciting because, you know, that high-grade feeder is shaping up to be a bit wider in terms of its true width, and as far as grades, it's considerably higher than some of the loads above. So very aggressive exploration continues there. They're also doing a lot of infill drilling in preparation for mining. They are looking at building a modest scale mine in the next couple of years, and that would be it would be an expandable mine. It's basically a scalable mine. So the idea is to kind of do this at a test level initially, but be also ready to expand production. Now, look, I'll talk more about that next week. I don't want to spoil that punchline just yet.
Yeah, but 86 cents, 156 million shares, $135 million market cap. LIO is the symbol, LOMLF in the U.S. is I purchased it. And certainly, I mean, just I think one of the headline numbers that I saw recently, 3.9 meters of 33 grams, and it was underneath some really high numbers underneath their existing resource, I believe, right? So,
yes, that's correct.
It's really a lot of exciting stories, Quentin, that you're working on, and I know Crescat Capital. I should tell our listeners, and I put a plug in for Crescat Capital as well, people that follow, a good number of the stories that I follow in my newsletter are followed and invested in by Crescat. And you put out, you and the two gentlemen you work with there, put out a wonderful product every Friday, almost every Friday, unless for some reason you can't do it. Crescat gets active videos, and usually, you start out with a macroeconomic view and the market view, and then you come in with your exploration intelligence and how, the projects and the nature of the projects. And I think it's just a wonderful service that that you provide on YouTube. So I want to thank you for that, and Tavi and your people there that are doing such a great
job.
Yeah, it's just...
Look, guy, it's a pleasure. It's actually one of the most enjoyable things that I look forward to Friday every week. It's fun. We won't have it this week, so I don't want to get people's hopes up. I'm up in Seattle. Kevin and Tavi are taking a well-deserved break with their families, but we'll be back next week.
Well, it's Thanksgiving weekend and Thanksgiving week, so I guess that makes a certain amount of sense. Quentin, I want to thank you very much for joining us today and an extended time frame with you. It's really good to have you, and it's always appreciated. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jay.
Well, folks, that is it for this week. Next week, I'll be here with Adam Taggart. He's the host of a great new video series named Wealthion. He has a lot of really great interviews there, but we're going to be interviewing Adam next week to get his sense of what's going on in the economy and some of his guests and who they'll be and who he's going to have on in the near future. So, and Quentin, as we just said, will be back with us next week to talk more about Lion One Mines. All right, folks, well, that's it for this week. And until next week, goodbye and God's blessings to you.
Thank you again for listening to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with Jay Taylor. Please join us again next Tuesday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
Labrador Gold is an exploration company focused on its flagship Kingsway project, located in central Newfoundland Gold District. Labrador Gold's first phase drilling program has successfully identified high-grade gold mineralization, including a 3.6-meter intercept, grading 20.6 grams per ton gold, and 1.85 meters, grading 50.38 gram per ton gold. The company has approximately $35 million in the treasury and is led by a world-class team of CEO Roger Moss and technical advisors Sean Ryan and Quentin Henney.